Boston University's men's hockey team will play its first game in about a month. Since late last year, the team has been scrutinized for what the university now calls a culture of sexual entitlement, which came to light after two players were arrested for sexual assault in less than 3 months. Only a Game's Karen Given asks whether this culture is unique to BU. Please be warned that some may find some of the material in this report disturbing.
That shot deflected, score! Cohen's shot goes in, and Boston University is your Division I champion, 4-3.
In 2009's NCAA championship game, Boston University scored two goals in the final 59.5 seconds and another in overtime to seal its fifth national Division I hockey championship. It was a moment that made many BU students and alumni proud, but what happened later did not. According to a confidential BU task force report leaked exclusively to the Boston Globe, after the team returned to their home stadium, players and guests drank from kegs in the locker room showers and skated naked on the ice. One student said attendees were having sex in the Agganis Arena penalty box. Jeff Benedict wasn't shocked by the revelations. He's a special features contributor for Sports Illustrated and the author of numerous books on athletes and violence against women.
The bottom line for these premier sports like hockey, basketball, and football is that the very best players as teenagers get treated like college players used to get treated. And the college players now get treated more like pro players.
But in hockey, there's another factor that further sets players apart from the student population. Pete Soros, assistant commissioner for public relations at Hockey East, says,
you know, if you're a basketball player, you know, you play in middle school, you play in high school, and then you go to college.
But if you're a hockey player, you're likely to play in elite junior leagues in the U.S. and Canada for several years before enrolling in college. That means the average Division I college freshman hockey player is more than 20 years old.
You're not with your peers, you know, and you don't necessarily talk about the same things. You might not have a lot in common. I think it does make a difference.
Players can join those elite junior teams at 16 years old. And it's what happens to them while there that concerns Laura Robinson, a Canadian freelance journalist who's written extensively on sexual violence and hockey.
Their understanding of sex often comes from the degrading and humiliating initiations. They get to be the girl. And they have all kinds of sickening stuff done to them. I mean, this is not a way in which you would learn intimacy or love of the female body.
According to the Boston Globe, the confidential task force report characterized BU players as participating in group sex with, quote, surprising regularity. It wasn't a surprise to Robinson, who cites a 2008 trial at which a player testified it was common practice in Canadian youth hockey for multiple teammates to have sex with the same female as, quote, a bonding thing.
Basically, her body becomes the skating rink that they perform on, and they perform violently on her, and they do it all for each other.
Laura Robinson has been criticized in Canada, where some say she's taken the bad behavior of a few and attributed it to the entire system. But Robinson says it's not difficult to find more examples of sexual violence related to hockey. Just last month, three players from a junior team in the Ontario town of Sault Ste. Marie were charged with sexual assault. As punishment, the Sioux Greyhounds sent the players to a confidential behavioral wellness program.
You know, as long as the newspapers in Canada continue to, you know, make these young guys into young gods simply because they can put a piece of rubber in a net, they will always get the reinforcement from the larger culture that somehow they're special and they're above the law.
Like in Canada, hockey is the undisputed number one sport at BU, which according to the team's website has sent more players to the NHL than any other college or university. In the wake of the sexual assault arrests of Corey Trevino and Max Nicastro last season, the BU task force made 14 recommendations to try to change the culture of hockey at the school, from better integration of players into the general student housing population to requiring yearly sexual assault prevention training. Those measures can help, says Jeff Benedict, but the power to change behavior lies with one man.
The truth is, that there are plenty of colleges and plenty of team sports at those colleges that do not have this problem. And I think one of the most important factors in this is the coach.
Benedict declined to speak specifically about BU's longtime leader, Jack Parker, who kept his job as head coach but lost his title of executive athletic director on the task force's recommendation. But Benedict says at BU and beyond, coaches need to focus on much more than whether their team is winning on the ice, field, or court.
You lose sight of the other elements of why you're a coach, which is to build men. And part of building men is teaching them what is acceptable and what is not in terms of your treatment of women. That's a big part of the college experience.
Boston University refused to comment for this story, saying the task force's report speaks for itself. As for the players whose arrests prompted the investigation, both were immediately kicked off the team. Charges against Max Nicastro were later dropped for lack of evidence. He signed with the Detroit Red Wings. Corey Trevino pled guilty to a lesser charge and was sentenced to probation. Though the New York Islanders used their 2008 second-round draft pick on Trevino, the team says it does not intend to sign him. For Only a Game, I'm Karen Given.
In the interest of full disclosure, it bears mentioning that Karen Given is employed by Boston University, and she holds a degree from the institution.